The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, in the latest on the US-Iran conflict, Iran is reconsidering its withdrawal from a proposed second round of direct peace talks. And we are now joined by Borzu Daragahi, Middle East journalist and analyst. Renewed hope that these talks will go ahead, Borzu. What do you think is going to happen?
I think most likely the talks will go ahead. As you've described, it's really unpredictable with both the U.S. and Iran, especially kind of keep changing their mind, keep playing hard to get. I think there's a little bit of brinkmanship going on between both countries, both trying to improve their negotiating position as they enter talks. Because what I can see is, objectively speaking, neither the U.S. nor Iran want to return to war.
Yeah. We're hearing that the U.S. contingent, including J.D. Vance, are on their way to the Middle East, and then Iran obviously now reconsidering their position. The sticking points here, do they, obviously the Strait of Hormuz is back and forth, the double blockade appears to be actually working somewhat strategically for the US, but the sticking points here, are they the nuclear situation and indeed the sanctions on Iran?
Yeah, I think the sanctions are resolvable once the nuclear issue is resolved. There is just that constant sticking point, and it was the sticking point before the 2015 nuclear deal as well. Iran insists that it's its right to enrich uranium on its own soil. The U.S. says that it has kind of forfeited that right by behaving in a shady way with regard to its nuclear program. They're going to negotiate as to whether Iran can continue to have a token enrichment program or nothing at all. And Iran says that nothing at all is off the table. The U.S. is under pressure to make sure that the deal doesn't look something like that 2015 deal that Trump tore apart in 2018.
Okay. Of course, the difficulty in stopping Iran from enriching their uranium is significant, isn't it? Because they can do it covertly and they have the uranium. So this arguing over whether they'll ever do it, never do it, or do it after a period of time, it could be all for naught to some extent.
Well, I think covertly is tough for Iran, as U.S. and other intelligence agencies have proven over the years. The system is pretty well infiltrated by spies, basically. And so I think that, you know, it's with a high degree of confidence that U.S. intelligence officials say that it doesn't really have an underground enrichment program. There's so many leaks in Iran. There's been so much electronic and human intelligence penetration. And so it'll be very difficult if Iran did that. If it did do it and it got caught, it would be very grave for Iran.
Has the ground shifted here a lot, Borzu, do you think? Because obviously the West has largely been allies in terms of their collective view of Iran. But earlier on last week, we heard Giorgio Meloni, the Italian prime minister, saying that as far as she was concerned, 9 countries had nuclear weapons, only one had used them ever, and that was the US. It shows a distinct fracture between the old alliances, and that is probably somewhat useful for Iran, is it?
I think it is useful for Iran, but on the other hand, you know, I mean, this, objectively speaking and looking at it, it was kind of an outrageous thing for the U.S. and Israel to do in the middle of negotiations, launch this attack. It created a lot of sympathy worldwide for Iran. That includes in Western constituencies like Ireland or Italy or Spain especially, and other countries. So in a way, the U.S. kind of shot itself in its own foot by taking up this war that was not only unpopular globally, but absolutely unpopular in the U.S. as well.
Obviously, the U.S. earlier today fired on an Iranian vessel, hit the engine room, and which Iran described as an act of piracy, and said they would retaliate. These back and forth spats, are they significant, or is this a little bit of showmanship and brinksmanship in the, I suppose, run up to these putative talks?
Yeah, just to correct you, it was yesterday that event happened. But absolutely, this does affect the trust between the two parties. If both sides are kind of shooting at each other violating terms of the truce, so to speak. But to be fair, the U.S. did reportedly warn this ship for 6 hours to turn back, and it didn't turn back. So in a way, Iran was behaving provocatively as well in this particular instance.
Okay. And, I mean, Borzo, you're obviously observing this very closely. I would imagine from what we're seeing that there is every chance some degree of talks will go ahead. Do you think it is likely that should that happen, that we will see some kind of an agreement cobbled out at this stage? Everyone would like this war to stop, I would imagine, particularly the US. They have significant reason to want to see an end here.
Yeah, I mean, Trump wants to focus on his ballroom and the 4th of July celebrations in the U.S., the 250th anniversary, and playing host to the World Cup. This is a distraction for him. So he has an incentive to do this. On the other hand, he keeps making these comments that are just very disrespectful of the country, of Iran, and like dishonoring Iran, essentially. And, you know, this is a kind of old world culture, Iran. And so that issue of honor and mutual respect is very important. Issues of decorum and diplomatic niceties are really important. And so when he goes off on Truth Social or whatever and starts talking about blasting the entire Iranian nation, sending them back to the Stone Age and so on, that kind of talk is really counterproductive to the deal that he wants.
Yeah. I imagine the Iranian regime despise the Trump administration and very likely despise America, but that may not be enough to put them off doing a deal.
I think that they actually, like, they understand Trump in a way that maybe that Obama was much more dangerous to them, much more of a threat because he was so popular, you know, and they called him very long ago. You had Qasem Soleimani, the former commander who was killed in a U.S. airstrike, calling Trump the gambler. It was a label that stuck. And so they know who this guy is. They've dealt with him before. I don't think that they dislike America, but they dislike what America does in the Middle East. And this is becoming a problem. And this is one of the negotiating points, too, is that Iran wants the U.S. troops out of the Middle East, wants those bases that have been damaged closed. And maybe the U.S. will take that offer now that those bases have been damaged and actually vacate and pivot to China as they've always wanted to.
And very lastly, Borzo, the situation in Lebanon, the fragile ceasefire holding, obviously there have been some people killed over the weekend, but a fragile ceasefire holding, the displaced people still being asked not to return though to their, I suppose, homes, etc., in southern Lebanon. How do you see that situation between Lebanon and Israel playing out and its influence here in all of this?
I see it as eventually deteriorating, and with Israel launching occasional strikes now and then, that it has done for years now and violated ceasefires with like breaches of airspace and sovereignty. And the reason that it gives is that the Lebanese government refuses to disarm Hezbollah. But the thing is that every single one of these airstrikes, every one of these assassinations, every one of these attacks weakens that very same Lebanese government and makes it more difficult for them to stand up to Hezbollah.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. That is Borzo Daragahi, Middle East journalist and analyst.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.